This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Jim Croce, warming us up this morning. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, is with us, and we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, February the 28th. We have another day left in the month. This is a leap year for February, so you get one more day in the whole year. You get 366. Thank you very much. In a few minutes, Alden Abbott of the Mercatus Center is going to join us, and we are going to talk about the Federal Trade Commission's attempt to stop the merger of two big food stores, Kroger's and Albertsons. They want to get together, and they are suing to block these two from merging, a move that Alden says is a big mistake. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And Hunter Biden, finally sitting down in closed-door testimony before a House committee on his involvement with his dad in any overseas financial finagling. We'll talk a little bit about that also. And Donald Trump carries Michigan yesterday in the primary battle with Nikki Haley. Wasn't very close. We will talk about how much longer Miss Haley will stay in the race. And in our ultimate top 10, we think it's a good one, the top 10 best-selling vehicles in 2023. We'll do that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay, I have never found a better place. It is located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Guys, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And if it has anything to do with tree work, the only place for my money is Arborlife Tree Service, whether it's enhancement of trees, removal of trees, planting of trees, stump grinding, whatever it is. Arborlife is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. I have used them. I know how good they are. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So last night and yesterday, Michigan continued the trend for Donald Trump. Voters in Michigan handed decisive victories to both Trump and Joe Biden. I don't know who the hell he's running against in the Democratic primary anymore. I guess none of the above, possibly. But there was no question that Trump was going to win. This is increasing the odds of these two characters getting together again. The AP called Michigan for Biden and Trump shortly after the polls closed, leaving both candidates undefeated in their bid to once again go after each other in the presidential election. So, Ed, I guess you watched a little bit of that. There wasn't really too much to watch, I guess.
I watched it as much as I would watch your favorite team being up by 50 points in the fourth quarter.
There you go. You changed the channel rather quickly.
It was ridiculously, not even close.
Yeah.
And all week we have kept going, well, here comes Michigan now. I got 40% of the people.
Did Nikki Haley make any kind of a post-Michigan primary speech?
I don't know. Paul, I'm at my limit with her. I can't stand to listen to her anymore.
Yeah.
It's just the same tune over and over again. You lost. Just say you lost.
I think after the...
She keeps harping on the 40% that she says that people are voting for her and not Trump. That's not the 40%. Like I broke it down earlier the other day and said it's probably more like 10 or 20%, and the other 20% are voting just voting against Trump.
Yeah.
Now, what she doesn't seem to realize is that 65% of the country last night or in Michigan said we want Trump. She doesn't hear that part.
Yeah. Hanging on by your fingernails. And that's about it. In the meantime, none of the above, I guess, was on the ballot on the Democratic side. Rashida Tlaib said she was proud to walk in and pull a Democratic ballot and vote uncommitted. He's not... Joe Biden is not continuing a strong relationship with a lot of the far lefties in his party. He's managed to alienate lots of people, not only in the Republican Party and in the independent area. People,
as lame as Joe is, I don't see how a woman like that could be in Congress and be so against this country. Period.
Yeah. Rashida Tlaib and the other one from...
Omar.
Yeah, Omar. Ilhan Omar. Those two in particular. I don't know how they got in. Well, they have a high Muslim concentration in their district. That's how they got in. But Tlaib went on to say, when 74% of Democrats in Michigan support a ceasefire, and yet President Biden's not hearing us, this is the way we can use our democracy to say, listen, by apparently voting for something other than Joe Biden. Nevertheless, Biden coasted to victory there as well. So that's pretty much it.
You know what I say to that? What does, in Biden's defense, which I can't believe I'm saying this, what is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to take a white flag and go down in the Gaza Strip and wave it? Listen, what happened to the Israelis on October 7th is exactly what happened to us on September 11th. And nobody in no country could have gone to George Bush and said, do not retaliate. Because George Bush actually came out and said, either you're with us or you're against us, period.
Right.
It's a line in the sand. And that's what the Israelis are doing, and it's their war. And if you don't like it, pick up a weapon. Pick up a weapon and go fight for Gaza.
Right. In the meantime, Biden's prediction of a ceasefire agreement between Hamas and Israel is looking not too sweet right now because Hamas officials pretty much rejected any current deal. Biden predicted between licks on an ice cream cone a couple of days ago. Remember when he was out there?
It's chocolate chip. Get it right, Paul.
I'm sorry about
chocolate
that.
Chip,
was it chocolate
cream.
Chip?
Always chocolate chip.
Okay. He said that Hamas would accept a deal with Israel in the coming days. But now, statements from Hamas officials show little hope of progress. Biden had said on Monday, with cone in hand, by the way, I hope by the end of the weekend, my national security advisor tells me we're close in terms of whether or not they were going to have some sort of a ceasefire. Well, maybe not. They're not quite as close as he thought. So there you go. As we mentioned, Hunter Biden, I think just about the time we started our show, was scheduled to start testifying behind closed doors in his highly anticipated deposition on Capitol Hill as part of the impeachment inquiry against Joe, his dad. It was scheduled to start at 10 a.m. He is expected to take questions from lawmakers and congressional investigators before the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees. It's a combination of committees, apparently, that he is talking to. This comes after his uncle, James Biden, Joe's younger brother, testified last week, part of his impeachment inquiry time. He testified that his brother had, quote, had never had any involvement or any direct or indirect financial interest in his, meaning James's, business ventures. I just cannot imagine Hunter Biden doing anything but taking the Fifth Amendment.
Well, I was just going to say, get used to this phrase, because I am under investigation by other charges, whatever, I must plead the Fifth at this point.
There you go.
The only good thing about it is that with Hunter Biden is, I don't know if you heard, but the Secret Service did realize that the cocaine found in the White House was not his.
Oh, did they?
No, because there was still some left.
That has to be somebody else's. Thank you for that update. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Alden Abbott will join us from the Mercatus Center. We're going to talk about the Federal Trade Commission's fight to block Kroger and Albertsons from merging.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Wednesday, Freedom Works, and delighted to have Alden Abbott join us. He is a senior research fellow at the Great Mercatus Center. He focuses there on, among other things, on antitrust issues, so this is right up his alley. We're going to talk with Alden about the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission's announcement. It is suing to block the merger of two big, big food stores, Kroger and Albertsons. Alden, welcome to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely our pleasure. Every time I see the FTC try to block two large companies from getting together, and then they purport to say that somehow by doing that, it's going to hurt consumers, it's going to lower wages for workers, and it's going to inhibit competition. I remember what Milton Friedman once said. He said the only entity that can create a monopoly is the federal government. And if you think about it, I think that's correct. If you allow the free market to do its magic, when these kinds of things happen, many times it opens the door for other companies to come in and do certain things. Anyway, want to get your thoughts on the whole idea of the FTC's decision.
Well, that your point of what Milton Friedman said is quite right. You know, it's government by force of law can prevent new firms from entering, can control the terms of trade. So it is a true source of monopoly power. But this merger is strange in a number of ways. I mean, FTC is saying that, look, we think that in lots of local markets, if you merge the two firms, you're going to have diminished competition. It refuses, however, to look at superstores at Walmart, Costco, at places like Lidl, specialty stores, online sales. It says no, none of those are in the market. And yet, the fact is that those superstores have a bigger share of grocery sales, far bigger than Kroger's and Albertsons combined would have. They'd have just 13%. So that, first of all, is questionable. They say, well, concentration, what does that mean? There'll be fewer firms in the local market. Well, They're citing new guidelines, which they issued in December. And those guidelines go back to the 1960s antitrust, when you were worried that, you go, say, from six to five firms, or put together a 7% and 6% firm, and it's anti-competitive. Lots of research has discredited that. But, I mean, even if you assume that, some of these markets, there's going to be a change. The merging parties say, look, we want to enhance our quality, and we can do that by putting together some of our efforts and maybe compete more effectively against online. Also, they promised to sell off a bunch of stores. FTC says, that company couldn't compete. Well, how do you know? Finally, workers. Now, antitrust, Supreme Court has said since 1979, is about consumer welfare. Now, they say, we worried about the lower bargaining power for unions because Kroger's and Albertsons are too big unionized employers of grocery store workers, and so we're not thinking about other workers. So the unions would have less bargaining power. Antitrust is not about strengthening the bargaining power of sellers versus buyers or buyers and sellers. It's looking at supposedly, creating actual harm to consumers. So basically, the tone of it, and there's some technical arguments they'll make, but the tone of it is, look, we're for unions. We think unions should have more power, we want to preserve that. And that's not traditionally what antitrust has been about. I think there are a lot of problems here, in short.
Indeed. I tend to agree with you, and I think Kroger said that this suit will actually harm Americans instead of helping them. Here's what they said. The FTC's decision makes it more likely that America's consumers will see higher food prices and fewer grocery stores at a time when communities across the country are already facing high inflation and food, food desserts is what they say here. But anyway, in fact, this decision only strengthens larger non-unionized retailers like Walmart, Costco, and Amazon by allowing them to further increase their overwhelming and growing dominance of the grocery industry. We're kind of touching on what you had to say. You know, every time the heavy hand of government tries to intercede as if they know better what will help consumers rather than those very entities that make a living out of trying to know what consumers want, always boggles my mind. Your thought on that?
Well, I you're quite right. And look, the companies that explain a number of synergies, they have different specialty stores. They have different know-how. By putting together that know-how, they say we want to enhance the experiences of consumers. And why is that? Precisely what you said. They are facing a lot of new competition from not only the online giants, but for people who want to go in person to shop, just near where I live, there are Lidl and some other specialty stores that are taking away business from the big chain stores. So they want to enhance the quality for consumers, and it would not be smart of them to. At first, they say we're not intending to close stores, but if they raise prices or reduce the quality, they're going to lose to these specialty stores and more online. Right. And the FTC doesn't have an answer for it except to wave its hands and say, those stores are not in the market. Why? It doesn't. Unfortunately, they're going to do it. If they get to block it temporarily, this is going to go before an internal FTC administrative court, which unfortunately would be likely to say, there's an anti-competitive monopoly, and then the companies would have to appeal that to an appeals court. So the real danger here is that the FTC might say, a court's going to stop it temporarily, we're going to drag our heels for a year and a half, and the companies might give up and say, we can't afford to have our deal in limbo for so long.
Yeah.
And that's one of the bad things the FTC is doing now, just trying to delay and threaten. That's in tension with the rule of law, I think.
Indeed. We're talking with Alden Abbott. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. He focuses on antitrust issues. We are talking about the Federal Trade Commission's suing to block the merger of Kroger and Albertsons. You know, Alden, the reason that Kroger and Albertsons have decided to talk is perhaps for their own survival. They look around and they see all of these other choices. They're trying to keep customers, in some cases trying to grow them, I would suspect. And so they look at a way of being able to keep, you know, their brand going and to compete out there. And then and politics is always involved. I mean, the only ones winning these things are the lawyers that get on either side of this issue and they start fighting. You know, and away we go. How long do you think this is going to continue with this this fight? Do you see any? What is your thought on how it will end?
Well, it's very hard to say. I mean, they were suing in a court in Oregon for what's called a temporary restraining order. In short, you can't do anything more on finalizing your deal for at least 2 weeks. It can be extended, and then they're going to say for a preliminary injunction. Ask for that, and basically, the tough thing is they're going to say under the law, well, we can hold up the deal so that we can look at it more closely, and all we have to say is there's some possibility balance of equities favors the government. They've already said in their administrative complaint, we want to start evidentiary hearings on July 31st. So they're counting on a court telling the parties, no, you can't go forward pending this administrative hearing. I only hope that it really all depends on the judge. District court judges are sort of kings of their own little castles, fiefdoms. So it depends on, and the fact is the FTC soon in Oregon, probably hoping they'll get a judge who will say that, yes, the government has a right to hold things up. So it's that part is really very hard to predict. I do think if the parties wanted to battle it out, you could predict that in a year and a half or so, the FTC eventually would say, well, you have an anti-competitive deal, and then it could be appealed. But many companies, you know, don't want to wait that long.
No.
Said, and because it costs them business, costs them the uncertainties, they have to do securities filings that say we're being sued. It takes up the executive's time they should be using to figure out how to improve their product line or placement to better serve consumers. So that's another bad side effect. The mere existence of litigation can prevent some real improvements.
Well, it sounds like they may just decide, you know, this ain't worth it. I mean, they started all of this back in October of 2022.
That's right.
They intended at that time, they announced they intend. They must have realized, I'm sure they knew that this was going to, well, I suspect they knew that this was going to happen. But do you think they want to ride it out and, you know, hope that down the road the FTC will start releasing its tentacles on this?
We'll have to see. And again, it has to be a bottom line calculation. Riding it out, will that cost us more than we'll gain from the synergies and benefits of the mergers? Meanwhile, at least for the next couple of years, if it drags out, consumers would be the losers. And by the way, I'll mention the government in its press release and in the beginning of its complaint talked about inflation. It has nothing to do with inflation. Overspending by the government and overregulation by the government has created inefficiencies and shortages in the economy and has driven up prices. Why have grocery store prices gone up? Well, because often the inputs, the cost of materials and stuff they're buying, and that's in large part due to bad government policy. So there again, it's government causing a problem and then blaming it on big business.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember when Biden came in and decided he was going to shut down all of these oil pipelines, and all of a sudden the price of gasoline, think about all the trucks that deliver the food products. So therefore, that's written right into the cost of your goods when you go to the grocery store. I mean, they started right away. And for the government to, you know, well, we can go on forever about this, but you're absolutely right. I certainly hope that in the long run, between Kroger and Albertsons, they are able to do this. I think probably in the long run it would be good for consumers, but we will see where it rolls out. Alden Abbott, thank you so very much for being with us. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on it. I look forward to talking with you again down the road.
I do as well, and thanks for your time.
Absolutely our pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Alden, I miss Albertsons.
Yeah, we used to have one right here near where I lived, as a matter of fact. And I liked it.
I think Publix bought up all their stores. I don't know if they merged, but they bought up all their store fronts.
They did. I remember, in fact, they were going to move into the old Albertsons where I lived, and then they finally decided they weren't even going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there was still stuff that I would go to. Listen, each store has its own identity. I mean, you know, you go to Walmart for the inexpensive stuff, but some of their stuff is more pricey than other places.
Yes, it is.
You can go to Publix and get their BOGOs and buy one, get ones.
Yes.
That warrants you to go to that store for the day.
Remember when we had Albertsons, Winn-Dixie?
Winn-Dixie's still around, yeah.
Yeah, and we had Publix, and we had the Walmart food stores coming in. Mm-hmm. We had all kinds of choices here.
Yeah.
And they've been slow. Now we got the Amazon food deliveries or whatever, and I don't know what else, but we got all kinds of other things you can do. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, boy, we got a lot going on. We talked about Hunter Biden sitting down for a closed-door testimony, Donald Trump carrying in Michigan. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Maybe we'll talk with the master barber himself. We'll find out.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday, everybody, middle of the week. You know, a lot of things are going on. I just noticed President Biden has announced he's making a trip over to Walter Reed to undergo a physical exam. I'm sure they'll tell everybody that he is trim, fit, vigorous, and acting much younger than his years by the time you get through. We'll find out how long the nose grows on the doctor that makes that report.
The doctor's going to tell us whether he had Rocky Road or chocolate chip.
There you go. They'll probably give him a little bit of it there after.
What if he gets a lollipop? When he's done.
Wouldn't it be funny if when he got over there, he says, Mr. President, we're going to do a public cognitive test now. Right. We got the cameras in the other room. Come on over. We got the exam. Well, let's start up on it. In the meantime, Biden is also, he's going to be busy tomorrow. He's going to plan on visiting the border. Biden plans to go down to Brownsville, Texas, and take a look at the border. Now, what would make him want to all of a sudden? I mean, has he really visited the border since he's taken off? He got close to the border, but did he ever visit? Maybe once he visited the border. So at the same time, guess who's going to be over? He's going to be in Brownsville. Guess who's going to be over Eagle Pass, Texas at the same time? Some 70 miles away could be Donald Trump.
Where is Biden going to be?
He's going to be in Brownsville at the southern border.
You know, wherever he goes, they're going to clean it up. They're going to run everybody out of there, and there's not going to be anybody there.
That's right.
And they're going to say, there's no problem here.
You know, right now, he's going down to Texas, where Texas is keeping people out.
Mm-hmm.
They put up all that barbed wire along their border. So I'm not sure why. I guess Trump is going down there to show how Eagle Pass is looking better and better since the governor of Texas put all that barbed wire up. I don't know why Biden's going down there. Why does he go over to California and San Diego where all the people are coming in now, you know? Well, guess who we have to give us some thoughts on all of that? We have the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, so Biden is getting rather busy after his physical today. I guess he gets down to the border. And did you watch, by the way, did you watch any of that primary battle in Michigan last night on TV?
No, I didn't, Paul. I was busy promoting somebody that's running for mayor in Dunedin last night.
Oh, you were? Well, tell us about it.
Yes, John Torga is running for mayor of Dunedin. The guy's been a client of mine for 5 years, a fantastic person, and it's time we get the local government strong here in Dunedin because it's not what it should be. It's all special interest, and the special interest is never good, especially in local government. You know what I mean?
Yes. Give us his name again.
John Torga is his name.
How do you spell that last name?
T-O-R-N-G-A.
T-O-R-N-G-A. John Torga.
John Torga, yes.
Okay. Running for mayor of Dunedin. And and a friend or a patron?
He's a friend and he's a conservative, and we got to get him in. Like I say, Dunedin is basically all special interest at this point as far as local government goes, and we've got to change that.
Ah, I know that they are also, I guess there's a mayoral race ed here in Clearwater, isn't there?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's going to be a bunch of them coming on here in just a little while. Well, we'll follow that, and anytime you want to talk about your buddy John, just bring him up, you know. In the meantime, we've got, we've got a lot going on. As I mentioned, Donald Trump, fresh off another victory over Nikki Haley. Going to be down tomorrow at the Eagle Pass, Texas border. I suspect he'll be talking with the mayor. I mean, the governor of Texas will be down there as well. But things are kind of quiet on the Texas border right now. It seems like everything is moving a little bit further west. All of these illegals are trying to get in now more so in California, I guess.
Well, they'll have more freedom in California, I guess.
Yes.
The other states are starting to shut them all down, you know. They're tired of it. New York, Chicago. Well, I mean, let's face the facts.
You know,
the mayor of New York City is tired of it. He's going against what the governor says. Look at what happened with the girl that got murdered. New York had him in jail and let him go, and look what happened.
You're talking about that woman in Georgia, in Athens, Georgia?
That's right.
Yes,
that's
was so sad.
Yeah. And then
so
another,
sad.
Another one, a trial starts this morning, I guess, did something to a 2-year-old child back in 2022, I believe. No, Paul, it's getting out of hand, and people are starting to see this.
Oh, they are. That's no question.
This is why Donald Trump is getting as strong as he is. People are fed up. And you know what? I think the election of Donald Trump is going to be the biggest election and the biggest time that people are going to say, we've had enough of this, and this is going to prove what America's made of.
Yeah. I can tell you that there's no bigger issue right now than the southern border.
You know, not only are we worried about the people that are coming in, at some point we're going to stop it, and then we're going to have to worry about the people that are here. And I was telling Paul on the break, I wanted to bring up the Row Hotel in New York City that is closed.
That's right.
But filled with migrants, and in fact, of over 1,000 migrants, all at $200 a night that the government is paying for them to stay there. Now, here's my thought, and this is what's bothering me. At some point, these millions of migrants that are here, the aid that they're getting right now is going to stop at some point. They're not going to have free room and board. They're not going to have jobs. And they're going to be destitute to where their next dollar is coming from. And that's when these millions of migrants are going to turn to crime to get what they need.
No question about it.
And then we're going to see a crime wave in this country like we've never seen before. You think it's bad now? Wait till those people don't have any money coming in. They don't have free room and board. They don't have a place to live. And they don't have the money to feed their children, whatever. These people are going to turn to crime.
No question about it. I guess they got plenty of empty rooms in the White House, don't they? We could send them there.
Yeah. Possibly so.
I keep hearing these are just nice people looking for work, you know?
Well, let's be honest.
Good. Bring them to your house.
As we all know, most of the people across the border are decent people, but there are too many bad eggs that always come in when you got millions of people coming in. We know that. We've seen the result of that. I listened to both Nikki Haley and Donald Trump, and if either had becomes president, I try to listen to hear if they're going to try to remove these people, deport them. That is so tough once you get them inside the border with their families, and then they have more kids, and they've been here for 7 years, and this and that, you know. And I think, realistically, if we just let's close the border, somebody close the damn border. And then we'll have to figure something out with the millions of people that we have. But, Andrew, do you think, realistically, either Donald Trump or anybody can become president and somehow figure out a way to deport these people that have been here?
Well, Paul, I believe that if we get the crime wave that Ed talked about, I believe the American people are going to start taking care of it all by themselves.
Yeah. Well, everybody's on their guard, and when these terrible things happen like they did at the University of Georgia, you know, it just compounds the frustration that people feel. It's such a mess. By the way, on another issue, does anybody here in the room know who Ryan Binkley is?
No.
Ed, do you know? How about you, Andrew? Do you know who Ryan Binkley is?
Is that Huntley Brinkley's son?
No.
No, I don't know, Paul.
Sounds like a kid I took his lunch money in school one day.
You might have. He's a Republican presidential candidate. Ryan Binkley officially dropped out of the race yesterday on the Republican ticket. And immediately, by the way, this is great news for Donald Trump, must have made his day, he immediately endorsed Trump.
He didn't even get a T-shirt, for crying out loud. He didn't know who the hell he was.
Ryan Binkley.
Nikki Haley's going to be in a position because at one time she said she would support Donald Trump. Then now she's saying she doesn't know if she would support Donald Trump. I mean, this woman is creating a turmoil for herself that she's just not going to be able to go anywhere without, you know, people just saying, we're done with you, we don't want to listen to you, see you later. I think she's ruined her whole political career.
I'm not sure about that. You know, they always come back into the fold. I remember some of these other candidates in the first time around when Trump was running, when he had about 11 other people running. Remember some of the fighting he had with people like...
But look at Chris Christie, how much he ran his mouth. At least he went away. We haven't heard anything from him.
That's right.
He found a buffet somewhere that's got him locked up.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything from him.
Anything.
Yeah, he has disappeared. You're right about that. Something tells me that Nikki Haley, you know, after Super Tuesday, Nikki Haley will drop out, and maybe begrudgingly, but she will endorse Donald Trump. When I was listening to her, somebody was asking her on one of the shows, are you thinking of running as a third party or an independent candidate? And she said, I am a Republican. I have no real intention of doing anything else. I think in her own best interests, she is going to drop out after Super Tuesday, and I think she will endorse Trump, and she's going to look towards in 4 years.
All I can say is the deeper you dig the hole, the harder it is to get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she keeps digging, believe me.
Yeah, well, right now she is.
No. All I can say is I believe Donald Trump is on the way, and This is going to make up for the 2020 election. Believe me, there's a lot to prove here. And what made Trump, when he did that town hall with Laura Ingram, when a lot of people were worried, well, Trump's next president, he did nothing about revenge. When Trump came out and said, the only revenge I'm going to have is success.
Yeah, that was a great answer.
That put him over the top.
We kept hearing from Nikki Haley on each stop, well, wait till New Hampshire. Well, wait till I get home to South Carolina. Wait till Michigan. Nikki, 65% of the people polled said they're voting for Trump.
Yeah. She'll get the message after Super Tuesday because she won't have any money left.
And that's with Democrats being able to vote against him.
The other thing that gets me worried about Super Tuesday is all the Democrats are going to be allowed to vote in the Republican primaries.
Well, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. There aren't going to be enough of them.
There aren't going to be enough of them. Don't ever underestimate the Democrats. They said they couldn't steal enough votes in 2020, and they sure did.
To tell you the truth, I was worried about Michigan. Not worried that she would win, but maybe draw within 10. And it wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't that close. It was 60-40, wasn't it, or something
like that? If this were
a
fight, it would be called in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that should be a sign, and she should heed the things that are happening, but she doesn't listen and keep going. All she's doing is making a fool of
herself.
She's
in it for herself. That's it.
Well, she's selfish. And she forgot the one word, Paul, when she said she's a Republican. She forgot to put the word rhino in front of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you're right about that. Well, we'll see what happens. You know, in a way, just having a little bit of competition, regardless of whom it is, maybe it keeps Trump a little bit more on his toes. You notice he has not been mentioning her name.
He shouldn't have to.
Yeah. But he hasn't been, like, stalking her, I mean, going after her, it seems like. I didn't hear him yet last night. I was doing something else. So I don't know what he said last night. Did he make any kind of a victory thing after the primary results?
I have no idea.
Yeah, nobody.
I missed it last night. I was out campaigning.
There you go. Well, you keep up that good work there, and good luck. Let's get his name right. John Tonga.
John Tonga. You're going to have the opportunity to interview him one day.
Yeah, I'll be glad to.
Now, is there going to be a life-size cutout of John in your shop, too, or not?
That's right.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. That would have to get custom made.
And don't forget, when you go and get a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop, you get to shake hands, but you get to see life-size cutouts of two gentlemen there, Donald Trump. And I think Ron DeSantis, do you still have his cardboard cutout there?
Of course he's still there.
Good.
Those two cutouts are my security to keep liberals out, because the minute they open the front to them, they run the other way.
You are such a card, Andrew. Thank you so very much, my friend.
All right, guys. You have a good day. Enjoy this beautiful weather.
It is nice. I hope to talk with you Friday. Okay.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. He is such a guy. You know, he's not only...
out campaigning.
He's out campaigning for a guy. You know, he's a loyal man. Some of the things he's done for other people, he doesn't like to talk about, but I can tell you, he's a good Samaritan as well. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 best-selling vehicles in 2023.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
ArborLife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call ArborLife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back to the final segment of Freedom Works on a Wednesday. Thank you so very much for joining us. We are here, by the way, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network, and love it when you can find time to join us, but we know you're busy. And thanks to Big Ed, bless his heart, he puts all of our shows on a podcast format for you. All you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top, and it opens up. You will see all the shows that we do, most recent show at the top. Ed's got the name of the guest, the topic with the guest. He's got our top 10, all the things you need to know. You can listen at your leisure, OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, there's some sad news I see. You know the actor Gary Sinise, do you not? He was in the movie Forrest Gump. He's done a lot of things. And he's considered a patriot. He does a lot of work involving military people. He's aligned himself with that. His son has died at the age of 33.
Oh, wow.
Following a battle with a rare form of cancer. It was Max Sinise. It's called chordoma. I've never heard of it.
No.
It attacks the spine. So our thoughts are with Gary Sinise at this moment. All right, speaking of the military, the U.S. Army is struggling with recruitment. The service is cutting its force by about 24,000 in a restructuring move that it says is going to help the service fight in future wars. According to an Army document published yesterday, the almost 5% of job cuts will mostly affect posts that have remained empty and not actual removal of soldiers. They say the Army is not asking current soldiers to leave as it builds back its strength over the next few years. Most installations likely will see an increase in the number of soldiers actually stationed there. Most of the jobs being slashed are related to counterinsurgency positions that grew during the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but are not in high demand today. But, you know, they're having a tough time getting people to want to join the Army.
I brought up the idea with all these migrants coming in, a pathway to amnesty would be to serve in the military for 4 years.
Yeah, and they might take you up on that idea. That's not a bad idea. If you want to get citizenship or something like that, Ed, before we get to our top 10, is there anything going on in the news that we need to know? In sports, rather, that we need to know locally or anywhere else?
Lightning got beat last night by the Philadelphia Flyers.
Okay.
I understand the power went out and came back on or something like that. They were delayed for a while.
It was the game local?
No, it was up there.
In Philly.
And the Rays are just doing their thing in Fort Charlotte.
I understand the Buccaneers have either let go of a receiver. Am I wrong about that?
No, nothing yet. There's still kind of the 11th hour trying to get him signed.
May I ask, do you recall that?
It's Mike Evans.
Mike Evans. Yeah. Oh, I want to get Mike.
And then you got Baker Mayfield, too.
Okay.
It's kind of a package deal.
They need them both,
right? You don't get one, you're not going to get the other one.
Oh, really?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for the Buccaneers. Okay, Ed, time for our top 10. This comes from Car and Driver Magazine. That's a very good source. And they list for 2023 the top-selling vehicles.
I'm sure there are plenty of electric vehicles on that list somewhere.
We're going to find out, and we're also going to find out if you will know, if you listen, if you will know what the number one best-selling vehicle was in 2023. So here we go, number 10. The Jeep Grand Cherokee, and they had about 244,600 units.
Yeah, I see a lot of those on the road.
Yeah. You're right about that. Number 9, the Nissan Rogue. The Nissan Rogue. I'm not sure I would know what the Rogue is. They sold 271,000, almost 271,500. Okay. Number 8. This has been around for a while. The Toyota Camry, very popular. 291,000 units sold. Number 7. The GMC Sierra. 296,000 units sold. Number 6. The Honda. Knew a Honda would be in there somewhere. The Honda CR-V, about 361,000 plus units sold. Number 5. Here you go. The Tesla Model Y.
Yeah.
There you go. Almost 386,000 units sold. I wonder how they're doing.
You know, we were out at was it Sand Key the other day, and there's a portion of the parking lot that had like four charging stations. Now there's one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Not being used. Is
there's
that right?
One charger
for the one car that's in the area. Number 4, the Toyota RAV4. You familiar with that one?
No.
435,000 units approximately sold in 2023. Number 3. Ah, yes, the good old Dodge Ram pickup.
Yeah.
You knew that was going to be in there. Very popular. 445,000 units approximately sold. Number 2. The Chevy Silverado.
The Chevy truck.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're into the truck.
I think it is.
So I know what's coming next. But go ahead.
Well, the Chevy Silverado, and I'm dragging time a little bit here because we got some time, has about 543,300 units sold. The last several here have been non-cars. It's interesting that the top-selling vehicles are not cars anymore. Have you noticed that over the years?
Because actually the gas mileage has come down quite a bit.
For pickups and the like,
for light duty trucks.
Yeah, and they're becoming more comfortable.
Yeah,
you can put yourself in there and
the king cab.
Go to the grocery store.
Yeah, the king cab. It's got four seats.
Yeah.
So
there you go. All right, Ed. Excuse me. If you've been listening, what do you think is the number one top selling vehicle?
Ford F-150.
I think you're right, sir. I'm going to actually generalize it. It says here it's the Ford F-Series. Yeah. They got the whole doggone F-Series
in
here.
The F-150, the F-250, and if you can afford the 350, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
You know what? They are like Trump with Nikki Haley. They're way in front. 751,000 units.
Yeah, when it comes to Ford, it's the truck.
That thing is all over the place.
It's been
very, very popular.
It's been the Explorer. It's been the Expedition for years. It's all those Ford trucks.
Boy, well, they've got the market locked.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so very much. We'll be back on Friday. Drive safely out there, by the way. And in the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. The Supreme Court's hearing a